Now, I'd like you to look at verses 9 and 10 again from Psalm 85. It says, "Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together, righteousness and peace have kissed." Of course, verse 10 is a very well-known verse in the Scripture, and it's a beautiful, poetic verse. And it's loaded with all kinds of meaning when you consider the four characteristics of God that are mentioned in that one verse. And I was thinking about how they are paired together, and it dawns on me that as you look at mercy and truth, righteousness and peace, that they seem at first blush to be irreconcilable terms. That is, how could we ever bring these two together, mercy and truth? How could we ever keep these two together, righteousness and peace? You know, sometimes people will file for divorce and they will list as the reason the idea of irreconcilable differences. They just can no longer get along. It's impossible for them to stay together. Now, we know that if they would come to Christ, it's not impossible. All things are possible with the Lord, but there are times when relationships break down and there's just no going back with those relationships. But when it comes to the Lord God, he takes what seems to be irreconcilable and he brings those together. Now, we talked about that when we were spending all Lord's Day in Romans chapter 5, how God moves from love to reconciliation. And now here we are again looking at this wonderful theme of reconciling both mercy and truth and righteousness and peace. The image of meeting together and kissing really stand for the idea of reconciliation. Now, when we focused on verse 8 last week, do you remember what we focused on? We focused on God speaking to us. He speaks peace to us. Now, how is it that God does this? Well, he does it many ways. He does it primarily through his word, through the preaching of his word, and through the fellowship, that true spiritual fellowship that we have with other people. That's how God does this. And he will speak peace to us through his word. You know, there are times when I have no human reason for why I should know peace and experience peace in my life, and yet I have it. It's not dependent upon people and what they do or don't do. It's not dependent upon my circumstances. And that's a wonderful feeling, right? It's not just an objective fact, but it's a wonderful feeling that I know that I am at peace with God. Well, here, he's building on this idea, and in the context, verse 9, that's why I read verse 9, it says, "Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him." Now, people put all kinds of freight into this word salvation, especially when you're dealing with it in the Old Testament. That is, they're adding meaning into it that they import from thoughts that are actually developed later. Salvation is not theological in the sense that your soul is saved here in verse 10 or verse 9. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about deliverance. That's it. For whatever the psalmist is going through, and for whatever historic point in time that this psalm represents with the sons of Korah. So, for us to really import meaning onto certain words and terms as they are progressively developed in the Scripture is really a mistake. And yet, we can go to the Scriptures and find principles from verses like these, because God's character never changes. So, when the psalmist talks about deliverance here, he's assured of that deliverance, that God will keep him secure, and that there will be this idea of God being glorified within the land once again. And the reason that that's true is because of mercy and truth and righteousness and peace. And those four things never change about God. That's the common thread that ties every age together. It's like faith. Right? When you depend upon God, you depend upon God. And it doesn't matter what age you live in, if you depend upon him, he will deliver you. All right? That's the idea. You can trust in him. So mercy and truth are paired. Righteousness and peace are paired. And so now we look at this idea and we say to ourselves, okay, how can this be? Especially if you're looking at it from the psalmist's perspective, we don't deserve God's mercy. We don't deserve God's peace. We deserve to be destroyed. Well, that's the same feeling that I had the day that I was saved. I don't deserve what God has offered to me. And yet, he has taken what seems to be irreconcilable, that is, me and him, and he has put us together. He has done that through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's tremendous. There is tremendous strain between each couplet. How is God able to maintain mercy and yet be true to his word? I mean, those are some of the questions that we ask people as we're leading them to Christ. How could God maintain a sense of reconciliation between these two things that just seem to be diametrically opposed, and yet God does so? We look at it and we say, okay, did God say you shall surely die? He did. Will you surely die? You will. Right? This is truth. And yet, how is he going to maintain that truth and that righteousness with the idea of peace? How is he going to take people who are enemies with God and put them at peace with God? Surely the wages of sin is indeed death, but the gift of God is eternal life, an eternal quality of life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how he does it. He makes all of these attributes come together because Jesus was delivered up for our offenses. He was raised because of our justification. That's how he does it. Thus, mercy and truth meet, righteousness and peace kiss. Now, is the truth of God and the righteousness of God, is it satisfied in Jesus Christ? And the answer to that is, it is. But we need to remember what it's not satisfied in. The truth of God and the righteousness of God is not satisfied in the law. Because the Bible says that the law kills, but the Spirit makes alive. So, in other words, if you're trying to work for God's truth or righteousness, you never find it. Because you can't keep the law. Only Jesus kept the law. So mercy and peace are found only in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and they are accessed by faith. So as we think about that, then the term mercy becomes really, really clear to us. You say, well, how is that? Well, we can say, okay, God is truly a just God, and yet he is a Savior. He has declared righteousness, no less than declaring mercy in forgiving us of our sins. And as Paul puts it in Romans, he is both the just and the one who justifies. He is just and the justifier of all those who believe on Christ. God proclaims then peace to all through the work of Jesus Christ. That's the idea. He establishes his tabernacle in the midst of us. How is that? He has given us his Spirit. We are at peace with him. And so we look to him, and full assurance of our faith and confidence is placed in him. So you say, well, what can we draw from this verse then? Well, one thing that we can definitely draw from it is that salvation is all of God. There is nothing that we have done that would merit salvation. It is all from God. That's grace. You did not work for your own salvation. As a matter of fact, Jesus, it's his obedience to the point of death, it says in the book of Philippians, that the demands of God's justice are met and that he is fully satisfied. So in other words, there would be no other way apart from Christ. So it's all of Christ. Christ was made sin for us, who knew no sin, so that we might have the righteousness of God in him. Righteousness. Peace, mercy, all of it, truth, is found in him. Secondly, we shouldn't presume upon God or be lulled into a sense of complacency over this teaching from Scripture. It's easy to come to the place where, okay, it's by faith alone, I believe that, I'm going to heaven, and we treat it as if, everything else that I do really doesn't matter in life. And yet, no true Christian will act like that. if you're lulled into a sense of complacency and you're not moving forward in your relationship with God, just remember, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So you can't ever be assured or confident of the fact that you're walking with God unless you are living in Christ. And that's the idea. You cannot seek out any of these things, mercy, righteousness, peace, truth. You cannot seek out any of the four apart from Jesus Christ. Growth in holiness, moving forward in your relationship with God, moving away from the world and closer to God, that idea of separation that is a strain throughout all of the Scripture, that cannot happen apart from a real relationship with Christ. If you're just doing things because, well, that's the way we always do them. If you're just doing things because, well, I'll feel real guilty if I don't. Well, then you're not moving forward in a relationship with Christ. You're moving forward in a duty-oriented Christianity that will really end in disaster and will end in hopelessness and despair. And then finally, this is a great comfort for those who are really prone to insecurity and fear. And there are some of us that are. God is indeed mighty to save. Nothing rests upon you. You have put your trust in the right person if you put your trust in Christ. And so all who come to Christ in faith will not be turned away. You can trust in Him. He will deliver you fully. All of us have access. The veil is gone. It's gone. And so mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have to be together on a Wednesday night and to pray. Lord, help us to understand that seemingly irreconcilable differences, great paradoxes within Scripture, we can see all of this begin to melt away and resolve in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And we look to Him. Lord, we look to Him so that we might know Your mercy and Your truth, so that we might know righteousness and peace. We ask that you would bless our time together as a congregation when we pray, and bless our time together this evening as we conduct the business of your church. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.